Hallelujah. Christ
has risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
Indeed. Jesus not only risen, he's not only risen, but he has appeared before his followers. If we take a look at the text today. But the scene that is shown in the text today is very odd and ironic. Because when Jesus appeared to them, not only did they not recognize him, but they were in grief, disappointments, and also in confusion. They've heard this mysterious testimony from people that Jesus is risen, but yet they headed out of Jerusalem, the holy city, and yet they never went back to check again. Seems pretty odd to me. The sun has risen on Sunday. They're walking in darkness. They really had hoped for the great things from Jesus Christ. And it was all slipped away. It was. So has anyone in this room ever played a game called Treasure Hunt? That's not what that is. Treasure Hunt? It's a game where usually older people hide stuff for children, and children would just go out there and play and find objects for gifts and presents. When I was in New York, our church played that all the time, every time we had picnics. And it's usually the last activity of the day, but it's usually the first thing I did when I go, try to look for papers and try to find gifts for myself. Usually I did find some. Yeah. And they would always place this big gifts on the table so everybody can see it, right? Everybody can see it. But the funny thing is, gifts weren't that great. It wasn't, I mean, no kid wants vegetable oil or canola oil, right? As a gift. They don't want to go home with that. But I was excited. I was genuinely excited. I wanted paper towels and toilet papers, and I wanted to go home with that. But imagine this. What if adults cut the game out and they just handed the gifts out to you? Just as you guys were. What if I just received paper towels? I wonder if I would be very excited about that. Will a child still treasure those gifts? Will they have the same level of excitement and joy in finding those papers? Adults hid the papers on purpose. It was not random for me to go out there and look for papers. It was all planned. Just as adults did, God did the similar thing in Luke 24. These followers were blinded by God himself. Verse 16 reads, "But God kept them from recognizing him." It was God who hid himself, right? I mean, two of the companions were not any of the less followers. They were diligent followers of God. They were part of the quality believers, right? We got deacons and elders, got pastors, interns, you know, the quality believers. They knew a woman who visited Jesus Christ in the tomb. They were part of their group. We could see that in verse 22. And they even went on to report to 11 disciples. They knew them in verse 33. These two people were influential. They were believers and followers of Christ. They knew Christ enough to follow him. But this is very interesting. Because Jesus, I read a statement from one of the commentaries. It read, "Jesus as risen Lord was not self-evident to these earliest followers even after crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus as risen Lord was not self-evident to these earliest followers even after crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus appearing as a stranger was part of God's plan. God hid his treasure before the followers." Karl Barth, who is arguably one of the most influential theologians in the 19th century, said this. "Note well, in the whole Bible of the Old and New Testament, not the slightest attempt is ever made to prove God. He also says, God has not the slightest need for our proofs. He who is called God in scriptures is unsearchable. That is, he has not been discovered by any man. He who was hidden from us has disclosed himself. Scripture does not go out of his way to say how pious and devoted these followers were in following Jesus Christ. Scripture does not say that they discovered Jesus. It simply reads, their eyes were open and they recognized him. It was Jesus who revealed himself to them. Jesus appeared to them, before them. Jesus listened to them. Jesus ate with them. Jesus stayed with them. Jesus was with them. He listened to his prayers, broke bread with them, opened their eyes. It took God. It took divine revelation for the earliest followers to see Jesus. God is not playing a game of treasure hunt with us or with our lives. He's not standing on the sideline while we're searching for papers. He's in fact in there with us. God is part of his own plan. He does not exclude himself from humanity. He comes to us as a form of us. He is the treasure. Last year, when I was in my first year of seminary, I faced some financial challenges. It led me to question my future in seminary. I wanted to take a break from seminary and come back to it after a couple of years of work. I eventually asked my parents. It was denied. I hated the fact that I was in seminary. I hated my major. I wish that I could have done something that made money. My parents had very difficult lives, and I wanted to provide for them. And one day, when it was my birthday, my mom, sitting right there, she wrote me a little letter with one sentence. She said, I am sorry that you are born into a poor family. I resented God. It was unfair. If I decided to follow him this way, at least he could have given me something else. I don't know what part of life or what part of journey you're in right now, but we've all done this. Or we are going to do this. At least take care of my family. At least give us more money. At least give us good health. At least take away my depression, my isolation, my sadness. At least take away my emptiness. When these two followers were faced by the risen Son of God, they said three words that led Jesus to call them foolish and slow to anger. These are the three words. We had hoped. This is a tragedy. The hope was gone. Some of us are still hoping, but some of us don't. Some of us can't. And some of us won't hope. Some of us in this room are with unfulfilling job while they're trying to hold on to hope. We cannot understand why God allows these things. We cannot understand why God brought sickness to our loved ones or death to our loved ones. We cannot understand why he won't give us more money if he's so powerful. And why my life is this way, while all other Christians in other rooms seem better than mine. Why do I suffer with depression when everyone else is okay? Why do I worry all the time? Why am I so tired? Where can I go? What about me? Where are you, God? This is a reality we are living in. Jesus as a stranger. He's not a stranger because he's away from us, but problem seems a lot closer than Jesus himself. He just seems so far away. And yes, God does disappoint us, and we are out of hope. But brothers and sisters, if you're out of hope, there is a good news for you. There is a hope. According to Pastor John Piper, there's a major difference between worldly hope and hope of the scriptures. Worldly hope is nothing but a wishful thinking. We say the word hope a lot. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope the weather's nice. I hope I get good grades, get into good college, get a raise. I hope my problems can go away. That is not a hope that we can use for God. Hope in God is a confident expectation of what is to come. That is what God is showing us today. Those two companions were nothing but wishful thinkers. They weren't hopers. And God told them, hope. He wakens us to hope. He wants us to be confident in him for hope. But it is not our power to hope. He surprises us. It is God who surprises us when our hope is lost. Not only is God in you, but he'll show up again when you lose sight of him. If God is the one who surprises you or is the cause of the hope, then only thing that we have to do is allow him to be that. Two companions did three things when their hope was lost. One, they were honest about their pain and their disappointments. They did not hide. They did not pretend. Number two, they listened to the stranger. Three, they welcomed strangers to stay with them and to share a meal with them. It was their obedience to Jesus' command to love that created a space and room for hope. When two companions walked to Emmaus in the daylight, their hearts and minds were in the dark. After seeing Jesus, they hurried to Jerusalem. They travel in the dark, but they are full in light. So friends, perhaps our sharing of our prayer requests and thanksgiving is a renewal of hope. And perhaps this worship, perhaps our fellowship, perhaps our breaking of bread, that's exactly when Jesus revealed himself. Perhaps that is the start of our new hope. We are being filled with hope for the journey ahead. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.